It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Today's gospel is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
In December 1980, as a 20-year-old young man, I had to join the army in South Korea. At that time, and still today, military service in Korea is drafting system and mandatory for young men. So, after having finished the basic training boot camp for 3 months, I was assigned to serve with the United States Army stationed in South Korea. So, my military service was to work with the 44th Engineer Battalion, a division of Corps of Engineers of the U.S. Army, for about 2 years. And I finally completed my military service in June 1983. I believe that serving with the U.S. Army was a God-given opportunity for me to learn English and American culture while serving the country. Anyhow, when I started working in the U.S. Army base in Korea, I soon became a friend of some American Christian fellow soldiers. They were good and faithful Christian friends. I don't remember if this photo was taken during a funeral service or not. They all looked serious and while Army chaplain was speaking. But I still remember one day, on a certain occasion, a group of my American friends and I were about to have a luncheon fellowship gathering, and one of my friends approached me asking, "Hey, brother JT, would you like to say prayer, say grace?" There were a few seconds of silence. Then I said, "Say what? What is saying grace?" I was still trying to learn English, and that was the very first time I learned the English expression saying grace, which means a prayer of thanksgiving for the meals. Yes, this casual and natural expression saying grace is still being used everywhere in the United States, America, especially in the Christian context and setting among all believers. I'm sure you all know the meaning of saying grace, right? Okay. Of course, as you are aware, both gratitude and grace share the same Latin root, gratus, which means thankful. Thankful, right there. Thus, it has been our understanding and tradition that gratitude and grace can be used interchangeably, especially in the setting of breaking bread together as a community of faith. The German-American philosopher and theologian Paul Tillich explains in his book, The Eternal Now, in the chapter of In Everything Give Thanks, quote, "Thanksgiving is a consecration. It transfers something that belongs to the secular world into the sphere of the holy. It has become a bearer of grace. Therefore, we say grace when we give thanks for our daily food and thus consecrate it," unquote. So when you say grace every time you eat, whether it's short or long, you can give thanks to God at least 3 times a day, and that's a good thing. Better yet, our gratitude should not be limited only to saying grace for our daily food 3 times a day. We must give thanks to God for everything and always. This morning, my sermon series, 5 Marks of a Methodist, continues. We already shared mark number 1. A Methodist loves God on May 25th. And we also shared mark number 2. A Methodist rejoices in God on June 1st. And this morning, we are going to share mark 3. A Methodist gives thanks. And now my sermon title is Giving Thanks in All Circumstances. Speaking of giving thanks, one of the best stories on gratitude might be this morning's Gospel of Luke. It is about Jesus heals 10 lepers. This story is simple. 10 lepers were cured by Jesus, but only one came back to give thanks to God, Jesus. It is not one of those many parables, but a true story Luke is telling while emphasizing the importance of being grateful. The main point Jesus is making here must be that we should not take anything for granted, but give thanks always. Sadly, in this story, these 9 ungrateful men out of 10 might be representing all of us. I think ingratitude is one of the unfortunate human tendencies. That's why, as children of God, we are called to choose not to take anything for granted in life, whether it's small or big. Moreover, Apostle Paul, in the first letter to Thessalonians, challenges us with this will of God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Then let us pay attention to verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. This part is truly challenging us. The familiar phrase, give thanks, is easy to say, but with the condition in all circumstances might be a challenging task. In all circumstances means in good times and bad times. Happy situations and sad or bad situations. Giving thanks in good times are easy and comfortable, but giving thanks in bad times? Really? Is this even possible? Can we really give thanks in all circumstances? But we must remember that this is strictly and clearly God's will, not an option. Yes, Apostle Paul boldly asserts that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Then, being Methodist Christians, how can we give thanks in all circumstances. So, based on John Wesley's faith and theology, the text from 1 Thessalonians and Gospel of Luke this morning, and the whole Bible, especially through Apostle Paul, I would like to share with you my three main insights on giving thanks in all circumstances in three practical ways. This morning, I'm not going to elaborate too much on each insight. These points are simple and straight to practice in life. I might plan on making another new sermon series on gratitude sometime later. Number one, always reflect God's steadfast love and faithfulness in your heart. If you believe in God, you also believe that God loves you through the love of Christ Jesus. This is your blessed assurance and amazing grace combined. And this is your unwavering faith in God, whom you trust at all times. Giving thanks in all circumstances comes from your strong relationship with God and from your conviction that God is always with you. Apostle Paul urges us in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, always reflect God's steadfast love and faithfulness in your heart. Your gratitude should be more than just saying grace. And this leads to my second insight. Number two, always express your gratitude to God and to others in your actions. From the 10 leper story from Luke, the one who came back, the Samaritan, expressed his gratitude by coming back to Jesus. Is it okay? Yeah, she's okay. The healer and the life transformer. You don't have to do any grand gesture or bring huge gifts to express your gratitude to God or to anyone. Simply come back to Jesus. Being in the presence of Jesus is already good enough and cherished enough. However, sometimes we can be too busy to think about expressing gratitude at all. We seem to take everything for granted, as if God owes you something. No, God does not owe you anything. Rather, you owe God everything. By the grace of God, your life, your family, your position, your everything are from God. And you must express your thanksgiving to God and to others always. We cannot thank God enough, never enough. That's why we must express our gratitude to God and to others in actions. I cannot remember when, but one Christmas, I got a wonderful and generous gift from one of the congregation members. So I sent a nice thank you note to that person for the gift. Then later, that person sent me another thank you note for my thank you note. I know that person's heart is a double blessed. Yes, the more you give thanks, the more you feel blessed and cherished. Giving thanks is never a waste of your time, but a way of increasing your joy multiple times. Especially whenever you pray for someone in your life, pray as Apostle Paul teaches us. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Expressing your gratitude not only to God but also to other people is a blessed way of life that can make you strong and confident in Christ. Number three, thank God intentionally, even in the midst of your trials, problems, and hardships. The key word here is intentionally. Things can happen to anyone and to everyone. Life can be risky and always unpredictable. If or when you go through trials and all kind of bad and horrible situations, it is extremely important for you to give thanks to God intentionally, even though it is very hard to do so. James encourages us all with this radical way of dealing with all kinds of trials you are in. He writes, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face various trials, consider it all joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance complete its work, so that you may be complete and whole, lacking in nothing." Consider it all joy. This is the strong words of James, yet it is one of the most practical ways to be strong when facing various trials in life. How could James say this? Not only James, but also many ancestors, pioneers, and witnesses of faith have gone through these various trials throughout their lives. Yet, they never gave up, but they became more resilient and stronger than ever. They all considered their trials all joy. And what happened to them? They all sustained, overcame, and won their life journeys. My sisters and brothers in Christ, my friends in Christ, yes, we Methodists give thanks always. You and I are called to give thanks in all circumstances. If you only give thanks for only good things in your life, where is your faith in God? Where is your courage that comes from Christ? And where is your strength that comes from the Holy Spirit? May you live out your Christian life joyfully by giving thanks to God and to others, and in all circumstances. We all are living in these times of fears, intimidation, and anxieties. Nevertheless, be extra strong. Be assured that God of peace, justice, and love is always with you. Let us continue doing what is right in the sight of God. I'd like to close my sermon with the following encouraging words from 1 Peter 3. Even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your heart sanctify Christ as Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.